There's an electric, there's a vibe that happens downtown on the streets that you can feel it. You can feel the summer coming, feel the spring coming, baseball's happening, and it's just, it's electric. It's really, it's awesome. It's hard to describe. It just is a feeling every year. It's like a freight train coming in the wintertime. You can't wait for baseball. Can't wait for that activity downtown. It just changes the mood and the atmosphere of everybody downtown.
That's Chris Bahai, the manager of Bricks Ice Company, a restaurant and bar across the street from Dayton's Dragon Stadium, 5th 3rd Field, in an area of industrial buildings and brick warehouses. Like much of downtown, it is mostly empty at night, except when the Dragons play at home. Then you will see people on the sidewalks, cars on the streets, and hear cheering in the air.
I've heard all kinds of things, such as like lifesaver, godsend, couldn't have survived without it. Just amazing things that some of the fans have said.
Before 5th 3rd Field opened, Dayton was one of the three largest cities in the country without a minor league baseball team. Not because Dayton didn't care about baseball. Since the 1880s, the roster of minor league teams that called Dayton home included the Gem Cities, the Reds, the Old Soldiers, the Veterans, the Aviators, the Marcos, and the Dayton Ducks. The Dayton Indians won the Central League championship, then folded, despite strong attendance, when their league disbanded in 1951. When City Commissioner Tony Capizzi began pushing for a new minor league team and stadium 40 years later, even the memories of baseball in Dayton had disappeared. Capizzi is now a Montgomery County Juvenile Court judge.
I couldn't believe there wasn't a baseball team here. There wasn't something to do in the summertime except go to Cincinnati to watch the Reds if you really wanted professional baseball, or Columbus. And I really felt there was Daytonians love baseball. You know, we're a UD basketball fan, we're a Wright State basketball fan, but I think people in Dayton really love baseball. And I could tell from looking at the numbers, we knew exactly how many people were out of Dayton area, the greater Dayton area, Miami Valley, were going to see Cincinnati Red games. And I felt strongly that if we could convince those people that we had a good product here, beautiful facility, cheaper price tickets, they could afford to bring their family. Because frankly, unless you're very well off, tickets to Cincinnati games are pretty over the head of most people. You got to spend $100 just to take a family of four to a Reds game to sit way, way back. You could spend $100 at a Dragons game and have almost front row seats. Big difference.
Capizzi's vision was for a downtown stadium. He believed it would draw the greatest crowds and spur the most economic growth. As the proposal gained steam, alternatives emerged to put a minor league team at Wright State University and other spots outside the downtown core.
Remember, this was happening in the 90s, and major, major facilities have been shutting down. So I do think that people were afraid to take a risk. Dayton's a great place to live, a great place to raise a family, great place to have a business, but so many people in Dayton at times seem so negative about that. So when I brought up bringing baseball to Dayton, 90% of what I heard was the negative side of it. Commissioner, it won't work because. And I kept on saying, let's find a way to make it work. That's what we're creative about. We can find a way to make it work. Let's just look at it in a positive way. So that in itself was a challenge to get people to think there was the possibility it could work and be successful.
One Daytonian wrote to the local newspaper, "This is the dumbest idea to waste tax money to come around in a long time." Who would pay to watch minor league baseball in Dayton anyway, when Cincinnati and the Cincinnati Reds were only an hour away? There was one person in particular who needed to be convinced. The controlling owner of the Cincinnati Reds, Marge Schott, was dead set against a baseball team in Dayton. Organized baseball gave her veto power over any minor league teams within her market. A Dayton team would just about have to be a farm team for the Reds, and the only way Schott would allow it was if she believed the Dayton team would sell more, not fewer, tickets for the Cincinnati Reds.
Her office, I thought it would be this beautiful new presidential office. It was nasty. It looked like it had been built when the stadium was built and never renovated. On the back wall behind me, there was a Coke machine where you had to put money in to get your Cokes out. And it had like those little 7-ounce bottles of Coke in it. And she asked me if I wanted a drink, and I said, sure. She goes, there's a pop machine behind you. And I had to take out money to put in to get my pop. So that was Marge. I'll never forget it.
Schott signed off on the plan.
We know our baseball here. We grew up with the Cincinnati Reds being the oldest team in sports. We were here for all the milestones. To get the Dragons, a single-A affiliate of the Reds, just is an extension of that. And so we're going to support our local home teams.
The stadium the city ultimately built for the Dragons is very nice. It has antique-looking wrought iron fences and brickwork. Game night may include a portable petting zoo, frisbee-catching stunt dogs, face painters, balloon animals, and a middle school student singing the national anthem. Kids love it. Tony Dunlap takes his 5-year-old son to nearly every home game.
I got 2 full-time jobs going on between my son and Pizza Hut. Our little escape is the Dayton Dragons games.
Although Dragons games sell out, advance tickets can usually be purchased online or through various promotions. For WYSO, I'm Stephen Siff.